Whenever the Lord Jesus walked among men on earth, he made it very clear to the multitudes, as well as the individuals that he was speaking with, that we are just travelers here on earth. And that as we travel, we are on one of two highways. Over in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 7, and in verse 13, he had these words to say, which clarify and bolster up what I have just seen. The Lord Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereon. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And as you and I travel through life, time goes on relentlessly. And when you're speaking to people, in fact, every week when I'm speaking to people, either they say or I say, "How time flies. And I can't believe that this was 10 years ago or 5 years ago." A couple of my boys were out recently on a boat, and they went down a river to a certain place, and on a pillar of an old fallen down railway bridge across the river, they saw the writing, "Sea, salt." It was scraped on that pillar. And they told me about it. And I did it 41 years ago. How time flies. And men and women, when it comes to the need of our soul, whatever you read through the Word of God, you find precious little in the teaching of the Lord Jesus or the evangelists. Precious little regarding tomorrow or next week. But the Lord Jesus himself especially was very careful to talk about the here and now. And the psalmist here in Psalm number 95, under inspiration, the words are there. "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart." And when the writer to the Hebrews was penning the words of chapter 4 to the Hebrews, he was quoting from this psalm. We used the same words. "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." Not long after I had begun to preach, I read Moody's story about the Chicago Fire. I've mentioned it to you before. And how, in a meeting with many, many unsaved people there, Moody encouraged the people to go away and to think very carefully about what he'd said, and to search their hearts regarding how they stood before the Lord. And Chicago went on fire that night. And many of those individuals that were gathered in the auditorium to listen to him, they lost their lives. And he said, "Never again." He said, "Never again will I tell men and women to go away and to think about their soul." But I will emphasize, with all the power that God gives me, the importance of today. I thought that during this past couple of weeks there were two people that I learned that from the village here had passed away. Wealthy was able to tell me there were four. And men and women, that is just a picture of right across the problem. All around us, men and women going out into eternity. And that brings great relevance to these words in Psalm 95, where it says, "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart." It is a reference certainly to Israel standing in the border of Canaan. How they behaved there. But what an application to the unsaved man or woman. And what an application to you tonight if you don't know the Lord. I want to look with you for the remainder of the meeting at a sermon that I have given the title to, "If This Was Your Final Day on Earth." If this was your final day on earth. I want to say, first of all, unsaved people, if this was your final day on earth, number one, you have been rich in love. Christ is God's main spokesman. And the rest of us are just message boys. God, every now and again, across the history of the church, has put his hand upon someone. There was Wesley, the true Wesley, and Whitfield. There was Knox. There was W.P. Nicholson. There was Dr. Paisley. People that he put his hand upon and seemed to use in a special way, but they were still just message boys. And men and women, men as they stand in the pulpit, they stand and they preach the word. And in that word, the attention of men and women ought to be directed to the fact that God is love. Now that is not to say that we leave out the justice of God. We don't never do that. But to emphasize to men and women the love of God looking down the years of time and seeing that men and women needed a redeemer. And Galatians 4 and 4 reminds us that when the fullness of time has come, it simply means when God had chosen. When the time that he had chosen. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law. And he sent him to the cross. And last week, across the United Kingdom, there has been overall quite a lot of talk about Easter. Just the same as there is every year. But for so many people. For so many people, it still doesn't register that God, in love, sent Christ to die. And to preach the word, and to bring good tidings, in order that they might hear the word and hear of his love, and that they might repent. And in reaching out to men and women in love, God knocks on your heart's door. I want to say that he knocks in the meeting. And there are people who have spent, that I can think of right now, and they have spent the best part of quite a long lifetime attending an evangelical church. And they're the most respectful, pleasant people you will ever meet, and they're still not saved. And with regarding some of them, I often ask myself the question, what if this was their final day on earth? How relevant these words would be today if you will hear his voice. And if this was or is the final day on earth for some, they have been reached in love. God knocks on people's hearts' door in the meetings. So often has brought an unsettledness. You and I have witnessed that. People in tears, some people angry. And maybe not willing to come back again, but God has spoken nonetheless. Fella, I know him for a long number of years now, and his wife is actually saved now, but some years ago, not every day you get an opening to speak to him, I can assure you, but got an opening anyway, and I said to him, calling him by his name, I said, do you ever think of these things? And he said, I think about them all the time. Then I met him there about a year and a half ago again. And folks, there was a hardness about him. And a reluctance even to enter into conversation with me, because he knows me a long time. He knew where it may have led. And the hardness was there. And he's doing what we're told in this verse 8 not to do. Harden not your heart. I wonder, has God reached you in love? And he's done it in the meetings. He reaches people in love in the meetings, but sometimes he reaches people in love, and he does it through the memory of something that's happened. When I was very small, about the size of Benjamin, I was Granny's boy. And everybody knew that. I'm talking about my granny on my mother's side, my granny's wife. And I used to pack up my bag full of all the rubbish of the day in the house and put it over my shoulder like that. And when people asked me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to my granny's. And I did. I went to my granny. And when I was about 10, my granda came home one night, and he was the worst for drink. That was often the case. And Granny, being a kindly creator, she got up to make him a cup of tea. And when she was making him the cup of tea in the middle of the night, she accidentally spilled all the kettle of boiling water right herself on her chest, right down. And they took her to hospital, and I was devastated. And then I was all pleased, because after 2 or 3 days, she was doing quite well, but I didn't understand as a boy that the burn could burn on in and affect for days to come. And after a few days, that burning, it brought on a severe heart attack, and she died. I still remember the funeral, crying from start to finish. Couldn't get me stopped. And then when I was unsaved, looking back on that incident, which I have done many, many times, I often thought, what if that was me? What if that was me that was, Granny was still in her 50s, what if that was me that was taken out unexpectedly into eternity? I wonder, has God spoken to you as you remember? You remember the Parkers. And sad times of separation. And maybe once or more you've asked yourself the question, what if it was me? And God has knocked at your heart's door, but you've hardened your heart the way the Bible tells us not to. He knocks in the meetings. He knocks through memory. But folks, he knocks in mercy. And he knocks at your heart door in order to convict you of your sin, to convince you of your need. Remember, it is his voice. A voice of compassion. A voice of care. And there's a seeking voice. And you've heard it before. And God has reached you in love. Over there in Genesis chapter 3, you need to turn to it. This voice is sometimes unwelcome. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, They were placed in paradise with everything they needed. They were always liable to fall, and they did. And it says in Genesis chapter 3 that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden during the day. And what did they do? They went and hid. They went and hid for good reason. I want to say that they hid because they were ashamed of their sin. They hid because they were aware of their sin. Because in Genesis 3 there, and verse 7 it says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed their leaves together and made themselves apron. They were ashamed of their sin, they were aware of their sin, and they were afraid of facing God. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, the cool of the day, and then they hid themselves. And God called out to Adam, and he said to him, where art thou? Adam didn't want to hear that voice. Maybe you don't either. There are certainly many people today, and they know what sin is. And maybe there's some degree of shame there. They're aware of sin. And I'm not saying that they have a reverence for God, but they fear facing God. So they decide that they will sidestep the issue and they will try to hide from him. And God's voice to them is a non-welcome voice. I wonder if he's saying to you today, where art thou? Where do you stand now before the Lord? That's really, the Lord wasn't saying, whereabouts are you in this garden? He knew exactly where they were. But he wanted Adam to come out and acknowledge his sin. Another thought there in verse 15. He assured them of a remedy. And this is the first preaching of the gospel ever in the Bible. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That verse speaks to us of the victory of the cross. And when he clothed them with the animal skins, that was indicative of what Christ did through his work on the cross for those who could come to him. I wonder, is that voice today for you? Is it a non-welcome voice? I wonder, is it a non-believed voice? Over there in the book of Acts. It's amazing when you read of the experience of the apostles, the different types of people that they met with. Some people were very cagey in what they said regarding the message that they heard. Other people were downright nasty. We're looking at one of them here in Acts chapter 17. Apostle Paul here has come now to Athens, and the whole city, it says in verse 16, is given to idolatry, a bit like United Kingdom. It says in verse 18, and certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? What will this babbler say? And others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. Why? Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Christian, when you seek to share the gospel, don't be alarmed when people think you're a bit strange. That has always been the way. But it says there, what will this babbler say? If you look in your margin there, you will see that word babbler can mean base fellow. Now, there's nothing base about the apostle. Nothing base about him. But the word babbler there also can mean a seed picker. In other words, they're referring to one who is a kind of you, what you would call a nitpicker. He's coming here to find fault with us. Still people like that. In Northern Ireland today. And the voice, certainly, it is not a voice that is believed. When we were doing some outreach on my when I was in the college, there was a man, and we didn't say anything to him. We were going around the doors and we were inviting people, I think it was Ballymena, inviting people to the meetings of a mission that Ballymena Church were having, and we were doing the outreach for. And I was out and the other guys, and there's this man. He said, "Look at the state of you boys." He says, "Well, for you, it's nothing to do." And then he went on to say about how everybody asks us to do proper work. And I said, "Hold on, man." I said, "I'm a cold man." So don't talk. I didn't say don't talk to me. He says, "So I know what work is." I said, "The Lord has called me now to the college, and we're not simply inviting people to meetings. That's all." But he was a better. As better could be. And he didn't believe anything that we were saying to him. "It's time we're alive and well today. Anyone listening somewhere? This voice of love. It's unwelcome. It's not believed. It's very often unheeded." Over in Proverbs 27, you can read to you what it says there. It says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." It's not, you remember what I said at the start? You don't hear the Lord talking much about tomorrow. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." The word "boast" there is the word, actually, halal. It's the word from which you get the word praise. You know what it means? It actually means praise or celebrate not oneself. Don't praise yourself or celebrate yourself about tomorrow, for you don't know what it brings forth. You don't know what it brings forth. The inclination of man is to think that there's always another day. The implication is that you're not to boast about it. And there's another thought. The invitation is, when you consider that we don't know what tomorrow brings, come to the Lord now. I have a lot of time for all of you, of course, but for Liz and John, who don't belong to this congregation. I'm very upset this afternoon. I'm greatly troubled because, you know, there's a man and his life is ebbing away. And this voice has been unwelcome. It's been unbelieved. And folks, it's been unheeded for a lifetime. 86 years. And I wonder tonight, as you listen, do you realize that this voice is God's voice reaching you in love? And if this were to be your final day on earth, what would be the best thing for you to do? I may have shared the story before with you of a wee Christian woman who, I think it was in Texas, she knew about somebody who was in death row that deserved to be there too. And she went down into the prison. And she's a very strict talker. And went to some notorious person. Really wicked person that she'd known about. Whether she knew them personally, I don't know. But she said, "First of all, I want to say that to you that I don't condone anything you did. And soon you're going to die. And I think you deserve the justice that's coming to you." Said, "But I'm a Christian." And says, "While I believe that you deserve the justice that's coming to you, I'm here to tell you that it's not too late to you for you to prepare for the next life." And she shared with him the message of love. I don't know what the outcome was. But he would have been a fool hearing that message being reached in love. He'd been a fool in his situation. Harden his heart. If this were to be your final day on earth, you've been reached in love. But secondly, you've been reminded of God's provision. I said earlier that over in Hebrews chapter 3, we have similar words to this. I think it's Hebrews chapter 3. Similar words that are actually quoted from this psalm. And it's a reference to what happened in Numbers when the children of Israel came to the edge of Canaan. And I mentioned on several occasions here that Caleb and Joshua encouraged the people to go in. And there is illustrated in their behavior the attitude of very many people today when they hear of what God has provided, when they're reminded of God's provision. You see, when God says, today if you hear his voice, he's not asking you to listen to that voice and to heed that voice in order that he might mess up your life. But it's for your good. And that you might come to him and that all the blessings that are to be found in salvation might be yours. The reference is made to this day, and it's in Numbers chapter 13, where the spies came back and they're giving a report of the land that flowed with milk and honey, and they admit as much. They brought back some of the grapes of Eshcol as a token of what was in the land. But 28 makes the alarm bells ring when we read it. It says, because nevertheless, they're talking now about the land of Canaan. This is their story. The people be strong. They're realizing they're weak. And it says, they dwell in the land and the cities are walled. So they have their own weakness to contend with. They have the walls to contend with. And it says, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. These are some of the most wicked individuals that ever lived. They have them to contend with as well. And these are the reasons that they're saying, we cannot go in. And what they're doing, men and women, if you look again in verse 31, it said, we are not able to go up against the people. What they're saying is, we can't do it. No. What they're doing is, they are setting aside God's promises concerning the land and effectively setting him aside. God had promised the land to them. And now in this argument, they have their own weakness and the great walls and the wicked people there. And it's just too much. And God doesn't even come into the equation. And when we preach about salvation to men and women and remind them about what God has provided for them, the blessing of sins forgiven, peace of mind and peace of conscience and peace with God, right away it turns right around, just like these people did. Surely the Lord knew that. Knew what people would do when he gave us his words in Psalm 95. Today you hear his voice. Harden not your heart, because it goes on to say there, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And the word provocation there, it means contention. As in the contention. And that's what we just looked at in Numbers 13. And when we preach the gospel to people just like you, people are very quick to say, but is there not something that I should do, or to feel within themselves and to wait, or there's too many barriers, or what about people? And yet God, if this were to be your last day on earth, you could not argue but that God has reminded you in his word of all the blessings that are provided for you. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And isn't it true that there's always another voice? Always another voice placing a question mark over the teaching of the word. And God speaks to me again. And a person, wherever you are, unsaved person in this world tonight, God is passing your way. And don't boast yourself of tomorrow. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. You've been enriched in love. And now you're being reminded of the promises of God. God has been patient. But that patience one day will run out. A little difference there over in Hebrews, 2 chapter 4. It says there, this time in chapter 4, it says, again he limiteth a certain day saying in David, now saying in David's psalm, that's what we have been just now in the psalm, saying in David. Again, he liveth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You're determined to harden yours. We're in the book of Ezekiel. It's very encouraging words for the unsaved man or woman who is reached in love and reminded of God's promises regarding eternal life and forgiveness and security. And it says there in verse 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. You see the word there, stony. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. That word stony is a word which also means, it also means to draw out moisture. What does it mean? But here's what it means. Yes, it means, it's translated stony here, but it means to draw out moisture because it is a word that describes the skin on your feet. The skin on your feet as it gets harder. Now, when we were younger, we were fishing one day, and one of the fellows was with us, and I'm not entirely innocent, so I'm not going to say anything. And he went to fish with two Wellingtons, but he only came home with one. The other one ended up in the river. Not sure what happened. But it was in the river, and he had to hobble home with one Wellington and one foot, and I'm sure the people driving past was wondering what was going on there. The Wellington one leg and stopping the other one. But it was less than a mile, and when he got home, his foot was really, really sore. And yet, when you look at those who live in some countries, they walk for miles. How come? Because with practice, or with use, the foot on the hard ground, the skin becomes tougher and tougher and tougher. In other words, it's as though the moisture is drawn out and it becomes hard and it's not as easily penetrated. And when the Lord refers there to a stony heart, he's showing to us the hearts of many in Northern Ireland. It's as though the moisture is drawn out. It's as though they're like the heel of your foot that has grown hard through years and miles and miles and miles of walking barefoot. Ties in with Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, referring to the ox's yoke on his neck, that his neck eventually, yes, a little bit raw to begin with, but eventually becomes really hard. Becomes the toughest part of its skin. And that's what men and women in their sin are like. I wonder tonight if this were your last day on earth. Is there anything to you that God has reached you in love? That he's reminded you of his promises. But finally, if this were your last day on earth, here's another thought. There is the removal of the voice. Because I read just earlier there in Hebrews that he limiteth a certain day. There's that time when Israel stood ready to break. They delayed and then they departed. And many a sinner has done that. Listen to the word. Stood on the brink, nearly saved, you might say. But then they've departed. So often you never hear of them being near the brink of the end. Isn't it possible that God can remove that voice, my spirit? Shall not always strive with man. And then winding the meeting up tonight. I wonder if you'd be honest enough tonight to say to your own heart, you've opposed every mercy that God has extended to you. And really, in the final analysis, you're banking on more days. More opportunities. Extension of mercy on another time. On
And the warning of the message tonight is in the text. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Men and women, you've neglected your soul. You've nourished up hardness by turning away and turning the day for your time and time again. Is it not time tonight to settle the matter? Settle it for now and for eternity. I must close and leave you with the text again. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Like it was, if today were your final day on earth. And the Lord, use his word, turn some who listen to himself this evening.